Amen. And this morning, I'm just gonna. I haven't tried this one for 19 years, but I'm gonna. I beat the Lord. The Lord has really led me on this one, and because I've been the preaching style. There's about three or four style of preaching. They have the textual, wherein you take the text, and you get your message to that text, and then there's another style is the expository preaching, where develop a message to that, and then there's also a topical. And mostly I use the topical, topic last time we talked about Elijah, and we talked about, what's that? We talked about, that short guy? Zacchaeus. So those are the teaching style that every preacher used, and I try to mix it once in a while. And this time I'm just gonna it's textual preaching, which is combined with expository preaching. So what we're gonna start a message this morning in the book or in the epistle of the Galatians in the epistle. Galatians is the letter of Paul to Galatia. And Galatia, if we have that verb, Galatia, the title of my message anyway this morning is To Whom It May Concern. Because it's a letter, it's an epistle. So it's Paul is addressing his message to Galatians. And Galatia, if we can put it I like the map reader or you have that app? Can you put it? Okay. Galatia, here, that's when Paul wrote this epistle, this letter, he wrote it not to Galatia or to certain part of a church or a certain part of a person, but he wrote it for the entire Galatia. That's including the Pergia. Remember in the book of Revelation, there's about seven churches, and this all the churches here, the Ephesus, Galatia, it's around here, in this area. So when he wrote this epistle, this letter, he wrote it to every one of them. That region. Can you put another one? So Galatia, it's now called anybody? Turkey. It's now Turkey. So the Galatians, the upper province of this Turkey is Galatia Minor or Asia Minor. So here he wrote that in this area here. Jerusalem is somewhere around here, and then we have Syria and Turkey. And remember that the Egyptian air, 804, that was shut down. He's traveling in this area here, going here and going to Egypt. Right, Egypt is right here. Okay, so this is a very, very historical place, Turkey, and that's why we're gonna digest the epistle of Paul to Galatians this morning, okay? And then that's where right now that's what they call Turkey, and this is the Galatian, the upper and the lower Asia Minor. I don't know why they called it Asia. I thought Asia is in the Philippines, right? No, but Asia is here, huh? It's a huge continent. Okay, so maybe I hope there is no Filipino and Turkish Filipino in Tunisia. But anyway, just to give you the pretext that that's what we're gonna do for the next 13 weeks. We're gonna study the epistle of Paul to Galatians, because there's something in there that maybe we can extract, we can learn from them, and when we study the book by textual or expository, there's something that we can learn from this. Okay, so bear with me. We're gonna journey Paul in this area of Turkey. How many wants to go to Turkey this morning? All right, so that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna go to Turkey. How many of you have been in Turkey? In Turkey. So that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna journey in Turkey, and hope you will enjoy it. I think it's about 13 weeks, 14 weeks, depending on our, if we don't have, we have a Father's Day next month, so we have a speaker, and we invited an excellent speaker for our Father's Day, and man, bring your friends, your relatives, your father, your grandfather, because we have an excellent speaker. Amen? All right, so, what? Anyway, this morning, we're going to open our epistle, our Bible, in the epistle of Galatia, epistle of Paul in Galatia. And we're going to start it there this morning. That's Caspian, isn't it? Caspian is here? All right. Caspian is here. Amen. Are you all there? All right. Okay, Galatians chapter 1, verses 1. Are we going to read verses 1 to, what did I say, 1 to 5, right? Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. Paul, an apostle, sent not from man, nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So, as I said, this Galatian, the epistle of John to Galatians, this is Paul. This is an epistle. This is a letter, right? A letter to Galatians. And usually a letter, that's why the title is about to whom it may concern. So there's a communication that Paul wants to communicate to Galatia. And do you know that there's a big difference in communication today and maybe about 20 years ago? There's a big communication difference. Like, for example, you need to have at least, in the Philippines, you need to have at least 3 or 4 cell phones to communicate to one person. Do you know that? In the Philippines, they have, how many are those stars or what's the other? Smart, a globe, sun. Moon, no? Stars? Talking text. You need to have at least 5 or 6 subscribers. You need to have 5 or 6 telephone to communicate to that person, right? In the Philippines, right? Because it's cheaper to use a smart when you call the person with a smart. All of you get smart. Right? So there's a big communication. And also, you call your son upstairs with you use your beeper, and then he will come back to you with his text. Right? So there is a big communication, and your daughter could sell a Girl Scout cookies to the website. Usually they stand in front of the Taylor brothers, right? But now they use website. So there is a big difference, and I don't know what else we are coming, especially this Mark Zuckerberger or whatever his name about. You know, they have a meeting about 2 days, 3 days ago on how they can further that there is no biases in that Facebook, right? So there's so much changes of Facebook alone. I could not even catch up with my cell phone. How many of you trying to contact edfuentes.org? No?
They all gave up.
can you think about that? Armando is texting Rose in the Philippines. Rose, contact in the end. I could not contact with him. Can you imagine how powerful is that? The person here in Highland contacting somebody in the Philippines to contact Redlands. It doesn't make sense, huh? We have a modern communication devices, and yet, I don't know, somebody gave up. So, here this morning, but there, communication is a bit different during Paul's days. Right? Can you imagine that Paul is writing a letter? Letter, it's a physical letter. And then this will be carried by somebody, not by another website or somebody else there that will bring that to the person that you intended to. But in Paul's days, somebody he's writing a letter with salutation that we read it. That, you know, normally this is Paul, an apostle. So he will bring that. He will give it to the carrier. Not the digital carrier, but it's a physical person, and then he knows exactly where he's gonna deliver that to that person. Right? So this is something it's different than what we have. And Paul is delivering this especially not to a person, not to a specific church, but to the whole church, to the whole region of Galatia, north and south, the Asian Minor. So, as we begin this study this morning, we're going to look up some a package or a letter or whatever Paul is delivering to these Galatians. And what we're gonna learn. And there's about four in these five verses that we look up. There's about four things that Paul wants to confront the Galatian people, because there's something in there that Paul wants to confront them, that Paul wants to settle the issue in Galatia. And so the first thing that we need to ask is that who exactly is sending what to whom? Okay? So that's exactly the gist of our story, is that who exactly is sending what to whom? Did you get it? Okay. So the first thing being sent is the most obvious. The first thing that Paul sent is the most obvious thing, and that is the letter. The letter itself. sent by Paul to Galatian church. And we can see that it says in verse 1 and 2, it says, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men, nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me to the church of Galatia. To brothers with me. So this is a salutation. If we see, if we read the letter, the epistle, okay, because the Galatian people, the Galatia, they are reading this letter. So this is a salutation of the letter, which is a very, very normal, typical fashion in the first century. Not in our communication, how we communicate in here, right? Because here, when we respond, we don't respond, or we don't, when we send our email or text, we don't say, this is Eduardo Fuentes, and it's trying, and I pray that you are good, and by the time you receive this letter, right? That's the way how we write a letter. There's a salutation. The letter is not being single, it's the letter that Paul is sending them, it's not for a single church. That I just want to emphasize that. Okay? And this letter, this Galatian churches, it was mentioned in the book of Acts in chapter 16 and 18. Just bypassing that they mentioned that Peter, when he wrote this, that by mention, they are mentioning the Galatian church in chapter 16 and 18. 18, and four, and the full text is that when Paul, who first preached in the good news there in Galatia, he had visited once the Galatian churches, and to see if it was working, that to see if the churches are working well. Okay, now sometime later, he has received the word that some false teaching has started to creep in the church and start to circulate among the churches, and they write to say that and Paul's epistle is to the, he wrote this epistle to set the message right. The occasion of this letter is that there is heresy, there is misconception of Paul when we taught Paul, when he Paul taught them that there is somebody that's trying to deviate or trying to put in some more about their salvation. So there is apostle, and the occasion of this letter is about the heresy, and Paul's unique place for both the founder of this church and his place as an apostle. He is the apostle. It means that the letter is something more than just a friendly note. Okay? In fact, we as we work there, as we study this epistle, we will see that Paul's write the strong authority and with strong words for those who have distorted the truth and attempt to discredit him. So the entire as we study this epistle, we can see that there's Paul is trying to correct and to teach them what God has word has given to him. So that's why he wrote an apostle, because an apostle has an authority to correct the teaching of some other Jewish convert, that the certain things has to be followed before you become a Christian. So he said, as aside, this is a letter. The first thing that we know that when that Paul is sending an epistle, sending a letter, and that sent by Paul to the Galatian church. And the second thing that we can notice it there is that apostle. Did you see that? There's said this is Paul, an apostle, is sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ. So here we can see that Paul's authority in writing the letter is that he is an apostle. An apostle, it means it is the one who is sent. An apostle is the one who is sent. So the essence or the essence of this letter as using the apostle is the one that is sending by somebody on behalf of that somebody. Did you get me? Okay. Apostle is somebody that is sent on behalf of somebody. It's just like Hillary Clinton. You hear me, Hillary Clinton? He is the Secretary of State, but they will send it to some other nation, right? And on behalf of the United States. Or any ambassador, whatever his name, to the Philippines. They were sent there on behalf of the United States, right? So he is an ambassador. Ambassador, it represents the head of God. So Paul makes clear that he is sent not by men, but by Jesus Christ. That's why it's in his salutation, it says there that Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man. So he wants to inscribe to the Galatian that he is not just sent by somebody, although there's nothing wrong sent by somebody, but he is sent by God. So that's kind of like a strong indication that there's something, there's a message that Paul wants to portray what God has told him to do. Are you with me? Amen? It's just like a private soldier sent with a message from a general of a military. You get it? So he's an ambassador. He is one who is sent. And so the first thing that we learn from this five scripture is first thing is that there is a letter that was sent by Paul, not by man or by any man, but by Jesus Christ. And then there is an apostleship that is in control, that is wants to know to the Galatians that there is an authority that he carry with him. Authority that is from God. And the very essence of God's character is being portrayed through Paul. Amen? Are you still with me? So, okay, I'm here. So Paul is not like this self-appointed apostle. I just wanna make it clear that as we read the verses 1-5, so Paul is trying to portray to them that he is not a self-appointed apostle. He is from God. And he carried the message, the very essence, the very character of God in his life. Right? So that first is that there is a letter was sent. And then the second thing that we can learn from these five verses is that there is the apostle, which is appointed by God. Okay? And the third one is grace. The third one is grace and peace. We can see that in verse 3 of our text this morning. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, blessing and peace were a common feature of greeting in a letter this day. Okay? When you receive a letter, it's not like the way how we receive it, and mostly we seldom. How many of you have received a physical letter from your friend? Rose? Do you, you receive this letter? You don't receive it by text?
Long time ago.
Long time ago. But recently. You, recently. Card. Oh, card. Okay. Oh, bills. Talking of bills, I don't know. I have so many experiences. You know, I work with Rose, and I work with my mom for the past week, Monday through Friday, and sometimes I help my mom in some of the bills, and my mom said, "Ed, can you read to me the zip code on this one? Because I'm gonna pay them." And when I took it from her, I said, "Mom, why are you paying them? This is a check. It's check for you." Oh my God! Where can you find? Nana is sending them a check because of the check that was sent to her. But anyway, the communication is very different now, huh? Right? And so go back to our lesson. Grace and peace sent. Notice that. Are you still in your Bible? Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So blessing and peace were common feature when you receive a letter long time ago. But now you don't receive that anymore. I don't think people using grace and peace anymore. They might use God's blessing, right? In the end, God bless you, right? But you seldom, if you're using a text, you seldom use that anymore. But in Paul's days, that is the very essence. The first thing that when you receive a letter is that blessing and peace. It's already stated in there. Blessing and peace upon you, bestowed by God, right? But notice that keeping with the spirit of apostleship, Paul sent grace and peace not from himself, but from the one who sent him. Notice that? It says, grace and peace to you, from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, normally when we send a letter, when we say, "God bless you," we think that it's from us, but it's actually from God, right? So Paul is stating here that, see, Paul is not claiming it, that grace and peace was sent from me, but it's not. Paul is saying that grace and peace is from God, right? Amen? So That's a thing that we can draw this morning, isn't it? That grace and peace is from God, and grace and peace is not just an empty talk. It's not just like a it's because it's we're writing a letter, we say God bless you, but it's sometimes we just like, "Ah, this is just like the end of our story here." But it's not. It's not an empty talk. It's something that is so the nature of God is with that, it's within that statement, right? And the grace, God's favor, and God's blessing. It's something that is it way too much for an apostle of Christ, that there's grace and peace and forgiveness for our sin. And remember, grace. That for by grace we had been saved in Ephesians, right? Grace that we had been saved not by our own work, but by the grace of God, right? The forgiveness of our sin is the gift, not only in eternal life, but that is a life of an abundance and fulfillment on the earth that is not poured out lightly, but won by the lavish gift of Christ. Paul, even in the epistle of Ephesians, remember that note, lavishly. I don't know if we use that anymore, but this is like an abundance of blessing and grace. And the sin that you have could not even can be covered by the grace of God in our life. So there's nothing, there's no big sin or small sin that God could not cover that sin. Amen? It's because by the grace of God, it's not our own work. Right? And grace is not cheap. God, it's costly because it cost the life of his own dear son. And that when you sin, you can come back to him and regain, and God will bestow you with his grace and mercy. Amen. But you have to also, there's a work in outside that because of the grace and peace that was sent by the Father to the church. And grace and peace from God the Father through the sacrificial gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? But then there's a final package. The final package of this five scripture that we read. The last one is that glory sent by the church to God. Now you see they are in sync with one another. They are working together. Now that God bestowed to us or give us the grace of God, which is from the Father, it's the response of the church. It's response from you and me. The glory sent by the church to God. Look at verses 3 and 5. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sin to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. And verse 5 says, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So, grace comes from God, and it becomes a cycle. Grace comes from God, and the church, the believer who received Jesus Christ, give glory to God. See, there's a cycle. And then sometimes if we miss this cycle, chances are it will be cut off. It will not go through the cycle. And if we don't give glory to the one who gave grace to us. See the importance of that? Because sometimes we have too much work and too much, we just receive the grace. But the glory that belongs to God, the glory that when we worship Him, the glory when we come together and worship Him. There's a cycle that keeps going on. The glory that's sent by the church. Glory completes the cycle, the circle that God bestowed grace upon our life. It's our response. It's the glory to Him. To glorify Him. Amen? And glory is not simple. What we say, but it's also what we do. Right? We say that, oh, we glorify God. But we really glorify God in our works. See, we can just say, it's easy to say we glorify God. But we glorify it with our works, with our body. Amen? In closing, I just want to read to you the story of John Wesley. How many of you know John Wesley? Okay. John Wesley was a popular evangelist in early American Christianity and often rode from one church to another to preach. One such journey stopped by a highwayman who shouted, "Halt! Your money or your life." Wesley got down from his horse, emptied his pockets to reveal only a handful of coins. He even invited the robber to search his saddlebags, which only carried his books. In disgust, the thief was turning away when John Wesley cried, "Stop! I have something more to give you." Puzzled, the robber turned back. Wesley then leaned towards him and said, "My friend, you may live to regret this sort of life in which you are engaged. If you ever do, I beseech you to remember this. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all of our sin." The robber hurried silently away, but Wesley got back on his horse and rode on his way, praying in his heart that the word might be fixed in the robber's conscience. Years later, at the close of Sunday evening service, a stranger stepped forward earnestly, begged to speak with John Wesley. Wesley recognized him as the robber who had stolen from him so long before, but now he was a well-to-do tradesman, and better still, a child of God. Raising Wesley's hand to his lips, he affectionately kissed it and said in deep emotion, "To you there, sir, I owe it all." Wesley replied softly, "No, no, no, my friend, not me, but to the precious blood of Christ which cleanses us from all sin." See, when we receive grace from God, we should give glory to God so that the circle that God wants us to do keep going continuously. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. The most efficient way of bringing glory to God for our lives is to be transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what God wants us to do. Be transformed by the renewing of our mind. There is no too late or too whatever. It's the day is the day. Amen? Because God has plenty of grace and mercy. He has so much to give to us that can cover all of our sin, big or small. Amen? So I hope you will be with me next Sunday as we journey to Turkey and we can find some nuggets. Amen. How many of you have you read this before and you have seen the study that we have? All right. Amen. And it's gonna be plenty more. And as I share with you this morning, that the message that we saw here is about Paul, which was sent by God. He's going to confront somebody in the church. Not only in one specific church, but the whole region of Galatia. Amen? Shall we stand? And shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for the epistle of Paul to Galatia, Father God. And as you direct us, Lord, to study the epistle of Paul, Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to be with us, Lord, and that there will be no deviation, Lord. There will be no out of bound theology that will come out, Lord God, but it's the Word of God, the very essence of God that will raise up, Lord, in our life. And Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that guides us and reveal the truth to us, Lord God, that when we go home, when we be ourselves and with you, Lord God, that you will reveal things that are hidden before, things that are not visible by our human intellect, Father God, but it's only through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you, God, for every person that are here this morning. That God be the glory for everything that the grace that we receive, Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank you this morning, Lord. Thank you for every person, Lord, that are here this message, Lord God. And Lord, we just want to praise you, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And Father, we thank you, God, for the tithes and offering that you have allowed us, Lord, to bring to you, Lord God. And we pray that you will multiply it, Lord, by 100-fold. That there will be no needs in your house, Lord God. But there is abundant blessing in any form, Lord God, that will arise in this body of believers, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.